Oh. Another teaching by David Ebell is titled Adoption.
We're going to talk about adoption to get the redemption. And I'm going to make a division between adoption and redemption. We're going to put it together and we're going to see if they are the same thing. Now, before we get into the lesson tonight, I'd like to pray. And while I'm praying, I want to pray that the Holy Spirit will not only anoint you for your understanding, but the Holy Spirit will anoint me to be His oracle. Is that all right? Now, in that realm, remember, every service you go to, every time you're in a, we'll say, religiously oriented group or something like that, always pray for the platform, the leader, whether you like him or not, whether you agree with him or not, that doesn't matter. Pray that at that time the Holy Spirit will be using them as His oracle so that you might hear something from God that will help you to make your decisions tomorrow, right? So you agree with me that I will be His oracle tonight and that He will use me and anoint me with the Holy Spirit, not to set me apart from the others, but so that I might serve the others and so that the others might then make better decisions tomorrow. Would you agree with me? Nod your head, wave your hand, or do something physical in agreement. Lord, in Jesus' name, we pray first for our friends that we all might have eyes that see and ears that hear. We trust you, Lord, for the move of your Holy Spirit upon your word tonight. Engraft your word. Save our souls. Change us from what we are to what we ought to be. Lord, we pray that we will not be like those of old, who having eyes they saw not, ears they could not hear, but, Lord, we pray for eyes that see and ears that hear. As we look into your word tonight, we pray that we'll look past that which is natural and temporal, past that which is symbolic, and into the deeper things of the Spirit. Yet, Lord, that we'll not let go of the natural, we'll not let go of the symbols as we study your word, because we can see truth in all of it. But we pray, Lord, that we will see all of it. Now, Lord, we pray that you will make me your anointed servant tonight. Anoint me. Make me your oracle. Cause my mind to adjust and change from the things that I might have wanted to say or the things that might have been that I might have wanted to promote. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon me and then articulate this voice so that it is this voice projects the words and the thoughts and the spirit that are in harmony with your ways. We pray, Lord, that all of Israel will know God from now on in the future by His ways and not the acts of the Lord. We pray, Lord, that each one of us will know God after the ways, like Moses did. We pray, Lord, that each one of us might change from what we are to what we ought to be. Give us some insight into how we should make our decisions tonight and tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. First, we'll take the word adoption. And I did not notice, I probably have used that scripture 500 times. I know I've quoted that often. And we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of the body. And all of a sudden, just recently, I noticed, well, do you know what this is? The adoption is the same thing as the redemption. How many of you have read a scripture a lot of times and never even noticed something? Come on, see? Many, many times. And well, sure enough, the adoption seems the redemption. So I've been studying redemption because I want to have my physical body redeemed, don't you? And so then I said, well, that's the same thing as the adoption. So while I'm studying redemption, maybe I better start studying adoption. And then I made a chart, and sure enough, the chart worked like all the rest of the charts we've ever drawn for the book of Revelation. You could draw a line right down the middle, and everything that's on the one side has an equal or parallel thought on the other side. Adoption is the same as redemption. Now, don't draw your line down the middle here because I didn't draw the chart exactly that way, but it'll come out that way that you'll see, like the Romans 8:23 and the Ephesians 1, you'll see they're all the same thing down the line. You're going to see that the adoption is the same thing as redemption, and you're going to find out a whole lot more about the adoption or redemption of the physical body tonight, and the Lord willing, you'll see some, perhaps some deeper things about it as well. All right, let's take Romans 8:23 first. Turn to it, please, anybody? I'm sorry. No, I'll tell you what. You turn to it, but let me read it, because I got the microphone on tonight, and I want to get this on the tape. It's in Romans 8, Now, we could do all kinds of things with Romans 8. Romans 8:14 is a favorite of mine. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, that's in contradistinction between being led by the law of God. I'm going to say that again. As many as are led by the law of God, they are the paideon, pais, and technon. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the huios, the manifest sons of God. Are you following what I'm saying on this? Now, throughout this whole lesson, you're going to see a contradistinction between the law given by Moses and the Spirit given by Jesus Christ. For the law came by Moses, but, say it, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, are we finding fault with Moses? Are we finding fault with the law? No. Well, because we needed the law, but the law was a schoolmaster to point us to Christ. Why is it that after we come to Christ, we act like old foolish Galatians and want to go back to the law? Right? Now, if you don't understand what I'm talking about your denomination. Wow. Getting kind of snippy already, huh? Well, I don't mean to be offensive, and I've looked you over, but everybody here has been in or is engaged in one denomination or the other, and I'm talking about that one. Well, if I'm talking about that one, then I must be talking about all of them, right? Because each one of them takes parts of the law they like and throws away the other parts they don't like. So, if you want to find a good denomination to join, here's all you have to do. Figure out the way you want to live your own life. Figure what laws you like and what laws you don't like. Then find a denomination that's pretty close to it and join them. And you'll just fit right in there and go right along with them. Why, there's some people that still don't eat bacon. And some people that do. And I wouldn't say you ought to. And I wouldn't say you ought not to. In fact, the Bible says if you're people who can't eat meat, don't eat meat. When you people who can't drink wine, don't drink wine. When you people have got to go on Sunday, go on Sunday, Saturday, Friday, or whatever, turn you on, baby. Because the Bible says, hold it, those with the laws and the rules are the weaker members. Those with the laws are the weaker members. Those with rules are weaker members. Those that are led to the Spirit, they're the stronger members. The mature ones. But don't you understand? That's the way it was when we were growing up. Now, if that didn't make sense, let me describe my daughter, Rosie. Well, about a couple months ago, Rosie was under the law that said you cannot drive a car because Rosie had not passed her 16th birthday yet. Then she passed her 16th birthday. We went down, filled out some forms, gave them some money. And Rosie was free from that law. How many understood that? And she found some new laws. Mm-hmm. But she was free from some old law. And Annie, back then, if she would have been driving a car, no matter what she would have done, right or wrong, still been against the law. You understand? So she would have broken any of those laws. Now, I'm teaching her to drive, and she only breaks a few laws. Hopefully, by the time Daddy's finished, she'll be a, you know, model driver, and she'll go get her tests and get her formal complete license. What I'm trying to say is that when my daughter, Rosie, was a teeny tiny girl, I told Rosie, behold the bush. When you're riding your tricycle, you can ride it all the way to the bush, but no farther. I told her older sister, Diane, you can ride your bicycle past the bush all the way to the alley, but when you get to the alley, you've got to stop. You can't go any further in the alley. I told the other daughter, the oldest daughter, Marceline, I said you can get in the car, because she was past 16, she had her license. You can drive your car on the side streets, but you may not drive your car on the interstate, because that's a law of mine. You follow? The cops would have let her on the interstate, but I wouldn't. You can see what I'm doing now? I am making laws for some, and releasing some from laws. I told Mike, who is older than Marceline, he's our oldest child, I said, you can get in the car, you can drive on the side streets, you can drive on the interstate, you can drive all the way to the airport, you can get in that airplane and be free from this world's laws. And I said that all on the same day. Now, is it the same father? Are you following this parallel, Heavenly Father? See? Same Father? Love the children equally? But does he put the younger children under more law? Or the less mature have more laws, called weaker members? Are you following this? Romans 14, weaker members, than the stronger ones who have less law. Until you finally get to the point where you're all the way led by the Spirit, and then as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the manifest sons of God. They're the heroes, the manifest. Joint heirs with Christ. You know what I'm talking about. Those are the guys that are going to announce him. They've overcome. But would you also admit that we need law right now? Come on. And why? No offense. But the truth of the matter is, we all want to be more often led to the Spirit. Come on. Nod your head. Every one of us would rather have the Spirit in our lives more often than he is right now. Come on. Tell the truth. The Bible says we have the earnest of our inheritance. That's a little bit of the Spirit. Come on. And the Spirit kind of, well, it ebbs and it wanes and it comes in and goes out. And the Spirit comes in like a tide. Have you ever been in a meeting where it just seemed like everybody was inundated with the Spirit? And how many ever been to a dry meeting? Well, the tide was out. All right, then you know what I'm talking about. Well, you see, the Spirit comes in and goes out. The Spirit spurts. We have a spurty Spirit. Come on, it comes and goes and showers and then it's dry. One of these days, we'll have the fullness of the Spirit. Not just the earnest of our inheritance, we'll have the fullness of the Spirit. And that's what I'm talking about. Then when we have the fullness of the Spirit, we will not be led by anybody's laws, anybody's rules. Because by that time, you wouldn't do anything to hurt anybody anyway. But right now you need some rules, no offense, because you're not all the way mature. Now that didn't go over too good, so let me try it again. The one next to you is not all the way mature. Hey. You got that part. All right, now let's do it again. In the book of John, John calls us and he says, brethren, now we are the sons of God. If they're not yet appeared, they'll be shall be. Remember that scripture? Brethren, now we are the sons of God. All that ought to make us throw out our chest and say, praise the Lord, now we're the sons of God. But I looked that up and it doesn't say, brethren, now we're the manifest heroes of God. It says, brethren, now we're the technons of God. And I found technon as a teenager. Brethren, I want to let the record fall where right now. You are teenagers of God. Come on. We are the teenagers of God. We're turning into manifest sons. At least we're not paying on pace. We're not infants. We're not, you know, children. Brethren, now we are the teenagers of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be when we're manifest, you see. Because when he comes, we'll be just like he is. Remember that scripture there? That's what it's talking about. So, beloved, now we're the teenagers of God. So do me a favor right now, and just remember that the people around you are teenagers. So turn around, shake the hand of the one behind you right now and say, teenager, I think you're going to make it. Right now, turn around, please. Teenager, I think you're going to make it. Teenager, that's it. Man. So we have the teenagers, and all of them are teenagers tonight. There are some old gray-haired fellas. There's one great air fellow, I was teaching this lesson a while back, and he got so tickled at this part, he wouldn't let me finish the lesson. He just wanted everybody to call him a teenager all night. All right, now go with me to, there it is, verse 20. The creature was made subject to vanity and not willingly, by reason of him who has subjected the same as hope. Now, when it says creature, doesn't mean grasshopper, it means physical body. The physical body is subject to vanity. How many knew you were vain? Oh, that didn't work. How many know the person next to you is vain? We're vain, subject to vanity. If you don't believe that, turn on television. 99% of all the commercials are appealing to our vanity. Come on. Because we're vain? Well, what did he mean when he said, look at her. Oh, she takes Jericho. Well, why? Because she was past what? Past 39 or nearer or something like that. she was taking Jericho also, you know, there's my wife, you know. There she is. Look at her, you know. She takes Jericho and she takes care of herself. And with the idea that if you were going to take care of yourself, why, you would take Jericho, of course, you know, because you wanted to look as nice as she did. So, and besides, we don't know whether she takes Saratan or not. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same hope. In other words, God subjected our physical bodies to vanity, not willingly, but then gave us hope. H-O-P-E. I'm going to emphasize that word in a minute as we get into more scriptures. God gave us hope about the physical body. How many know that in Corinthians, Paul was talking and he said, now look, there's coming a time with this when this which is corruptible is going to put on incorruption. This which is mortal is going to put on what? Immortality, and we shall be changed. Now he's talking about this which is corruptible. The creature is subject to the bondage of corruption. Now, when Jesus died on the cross and his blood was spilled, did that cover your past sins? Say yes.
Yes.
All right. When Jesus was at this crucifixion experience and they laid the stripes on his back, were they for the healing of the body?
Yes.
Did Jesus, now watch it, careful, don't just yell out your answer right now, but think about this one. At the cross, at the atonement, was any price paid to reverse the bondage of corruption? Did Jesus do anything at the cross to reverse the bondage of corruption? Have people been getting old every day since the cross? Has the bondage of corruption been on us every day since the cross? Now, how many know what the bondage of corruption is? All right, let's do that again and see. The bondage of corruption. Well, I was combing my hair the other day, and I looked at the sink, and there I was, going down the drain. Well, my forehead, the hairline is receding. It's going up higher because of the bondage of corruption. And everybody always asked me the question. I mean, not everybody, but those who are the most forward asked me the question about whether this hair is the, you know, naturally this color. And only my hairdresser knows. But the fact is, this is my natural color. And it'll be this way until I'm 62 if I follow my father's path. And then when I'm 63, from 62 to 63, it'll be white. It'll be beautiful white. It'll be, you know, a glory. Just 1 year, and that's the way it happened to Dad. And, well, I don't know. I'm going to see if I can keep it from happening that way. I'm taking E. But, the mind is a corruption. It's going to get us. And we're subject to that by vanity. And because we're vain, we fight it. And because we fight it, we go to the drugstore. And we go to the drugstore because we're subject to bondage of corruption. And we buy a tube of this and a bottle of that. We color this and glue that back. Then we buy something to pull this in and push that out. Because we're falling apart. How many will admit that somebody you know is falling apart? All right. And we're fighting it. And that's what we spend our money on. Except for the money that we spend to eat, we spend the rest of the money on fighting it. And if we can't fight it, we camouflage it. With special garments. And other things like that. So that nobody will know we're falling apart. Because we're vain. I guess I spent enough time on that. Let's move along. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Our bodies shall be delivered. Shall be delivered. Do you believe it or not? Do you believe it? Do you believe your body shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption? Will there be a group who overcomes the bondage of corruption?
Yeah.
All right. Our body shall be delivered from bondage to corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travailed in pain until now. And what are we groaning for? And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. Now that's really the title verse. We're waiting for the adoption, that is the redemption of the body. Now, Paul, in this case, said he was of the first fruits. Not exactly, but how do you say it? We have, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. James said he was a kind of the first fruits. James said we're a kind of first fruits. Now, technically, the first fruits were those spirits. Remember when Jesus died, descended into hell? I didn't mean to offend anybody when I said Jesus went to hell. Is anybody upset? Usually can't get away with that in Sunday school, but I guess we'll do that here. So, he descended into hell to preach to the captives, you remember all that, and he preached to spirits which were aforetime disobedient, and then he took the keys of death on the grave, he opened hell's gates, he dumped the place empty, he took them back to heaven, and they were his first fruits. Are you following this? James was the kind of first fruits because he was pretty close. He was right in there as far as the early stages of those kind of things, you see. And Paul thought he was among that group too. And even then, he realized that he did not have the salvation of his body, but he was hoping for it. Paul wanted the salvation of his body, but he knew that he could not exercise faith for it. He was hoping for it. The salvation of the body is what we call the third salvation. See, Jesus Christ already saved my spirit. Jesus is saving my soul. Jesus will save my body. Past, present, future. Jesus, Holy Ghost, glory of the Father. Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. On and on it goes. Jesus already saved our spirits. I looked you over, and there's not a person here that I'm worried about in the heart-spirit realm. I already checked you out, and everybody here is all right in spirit. But I am quite concerned. Come on. Where's the problem? Soul, mind, intellect, will, emotion, attitude. Because we have not yet received with meekness the engrafted word in fullness. Come on now. We've got a lot of it. Well, let's do it again another way. I'm not as bad as I was. We got a lot of it. Things are changing. Things are getting better. And tomorrow I'm going to be better than I am tonight. I just wish I had somewhere to teach tomorrow. Because it'd be better than tonight. You see what I'm doing? In other words, I'm not as bad as I was. And I am changing, but I'm not what I ought to be. Would you admit it? No. Would you admit you're not what you ought to be? How's that? No. All right. You admitted the former too quickly. I want you to admit it about yourself. We're not what we ought to be. Now, here's the problem. Many churches, we call them Calvinist churches, teach that once you come to the altar and give your heart to Jesus, then you have achieved all that God has for you. The Arminian or Methodist churches say, wait a minute, now after you've done that, you ought to come back for a second work. Not only should you be saved, you should be sanctified. Right? How many of you are sanctified? Saved and sanctified. But remember, the Bible not only talks about justified and sanctified, it also talks about glorified. Justified in spirit, sanctified in soul, glorified in body. We believe there are three steps, three things to do. Now, most of Christendom is right now fighting between two theological concepts, one from Calvin, one from Wesley or Arminian, Arminia, the Arminian doctrine, the two, I guess, major things that cause people to argue about Christianity. And so while they're still arguing about two things, we come along with a third one. So naturally that endears us to both. Well, not all the theologians are thrilled with what we're teaching. But I've never had a theologian show me where we're wrong. The guys that are mad are mostly mad because people start hearing what we're saying and saying, hey, this place I'm in is a kindergarten. And they don't like to have their place referred to as a kindergarten. All right, you see what I'm doing there. So we get into some personality problems. In verse 23, we begin to see a concept that the adoption is the same thing as the redemption. So now I want you to go with me to see a few scriptures on redemption. And Lord willing, we'll be able to do this quickly, I hope. Come with me first to... The first one was in 8:23. That redemption is a future tense. Will you agree? We're waiting. Future tense? Not yet. One way or the other. It's future. All right. Let's take a past past redemption. Romans 3. Go back to Romans 3. Romans 3:24. Being justified freely through His grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. How many have faith in the blood of Jesus? Let me see your hands. Just like you. All right. Faith in the blood of Jesus to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are what?
Past.
Through the forbearance of God. Now, if you have the faith in the blood of Jesus, that covers your which sins? Past sins. Now, with your past sins covered, how many of you gave your heart to Jesus? Raise your hands up and down real fast. How many of you still get stupid thoughts? Raise your hands up and down. All right. What's the problem? Our past sins are covered by the blood, but we still sin. Come on. But you do not sin in spirit. There's no one here that sins in spirit. You sin in your dumb head, mind, intellect, will, emotion, attitude. Now, that didn't go over too well, so I'm talking about the one next to you now. The reason that you're in trouble is because of your own mind, your own mouth. And you're the one that spoke out and got yourself in trouble. Come on, tell the truth. In fact, you brought your own worst enemy here with you tonight. Now, some guy misunderstood and said, yeah, she's sitting next to me. Yeah, obviously he didn't get it, you see. I wasn't talking about that. Your enemy is sitting in the chair you're sitting in. Come on. And your troublemaker, James talked about the troublemaker. It says your tongue. And your tongue has been waggling because of your dumb head. And all the selfish attitudes are worth. Here's a past salvation. We had a future one. Let's go to the present one. Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Now, these are all on your paper, and you can follow the paper if you want it, you can just follow me. And if I pull any scriptures out that I haven't got on your paper, I'll tell you.
Please stop your machine and turn this cassette over.